Picture this. You open your task manager to figure out what to work on. And instead of feeling clear, you feel heavy. There's stuff on there from 3 weeks ago. Stuff you keep moving forward. Stuff you added at 11 p.m. when you were convinced you would definitely do it tomorrow. And the worst part? You built this system. You chose the app, set up the structure, added the tasks. It was supposed to help. So why does it feel like it's following you around? Today, we're talking about why that happened and what to do instead. Welcome back to Think Like a Librarian, Systems for Curious Mind. I'm Meredith. What I just described, that heaviness, isn't a discipline problem. It's a design problem. Specifically, it's what happens when your system doesn't distinguish between the things you need to finish and the things you need to maintain. Between stuff that's actively useful and stuff that's just taking up space. Today, we're talking about a framework called PARA. Projects, Areas, Resources, and Archives. It comes from Tiago Forte. He introduced the concept in his 2022 book, Building a Second Brain, and then developed it fully in the PARA method in 2023. At its core, it's a way of organizing information and commitments based on actionability, not just topic. But I want to be upfront about something. I'm not here to sell you on PARA as a system. I'm here to use it as a clarifying lens, a way of seeing what you're actually holding. Because once you can see it clearly, you can decide what actually deserves your attention and give yourself permission to put the rest down. Let's get into it. The single most important distinction in PARA is the difference between a project and an area. A project has a clear endpoint, something you can finish. Plan kiddo's birthday party, launch the podcast, finish that online course. These are projects. An area, on the other hand, is an ongoing responsibility, something you maintain to a standard, but it never really ends. Health, finances, parenting, your home, your career, these are areas. This is where most of us get into trouble. We mix them together. Be healthier ends up on the same list as schedule dentist appointment. Manage household gets treated the same way as fix the leaky faucet. When you do that, everything starts to feel urgent. Your list never shrinks because the areas don't shrink. They're not supposed to. But if you're tracking them like projects, like things that should get done, you end up feeling like you're failing at everything all the time. I had a moment recently where this really clicked for me. I was journaling one morning, just a regular daily page in Notion, and I was frustrated. I'd been trying to get more organized digitally, and I still couldn't find things when I needed them. I wrote, I have to be regular about moving things out of my inbox folders and into the areas where they should be, and be consistent about what is a project or an area and what is truthfully archived. And I caught myself. You'd think that as a librarian, I would understand how things can and should be brought out of archives when needed. That was the insight. And honestly, it made me laugh a little. It's not just about putting things in the right bucket. It's about being consistent, having a standard for what counts, and giving yourself permission to move things around as your life changes. So, before you add anything to your system, try asking yourself one question. Does this end or do I maintain it? If it ends, it's a project. Give it a deadline. If you maintain it, it's an area. Stop expecting to get it done. That one question changes a lot. One more distinction. What's the difference between a project and a task? Well, a project is the container. A task is the action inside it. Launch the podcast is a project. Record episode 5 is a task that lives inside that project. When those two things end up on the same list, side by side, same visual weight, everything feels equally urgent. The big multi-step thing and the single action item just sitting there together. No wonder why it feels like too much. Part of what PARA does is give the container its own home, separate from the individual actions inside it. So when you sit down to work, you're not staring down launch the podcast as a single to-do. You're looking at the next task inside that project, which is a much more manageable thing to actually do. And here's where it gets genuinely complicated, because the tools don't always agree on what to call any of this. I use a calendar app called Morgan. It pulls in tasks from Notion, Reminders, Outlook, and other apps. Some of those apps don't call them tasks, but Morgan treats them as tasks because that's the understood commonality. Meanwhile, Morgan also has routines, which appear in your calendar and can be marked complete, but they don't show up in your task list. And then there are frames, dedicated time blocks for getting certain kinds of work done, which I always called time blocking or batching, depending on the day and who had been reading. Same concepts, completely different words. And every app has made a deliberate choice about what to call things, a narrow definition that may or may not match how you think about it. This matters because if you're trying to implement Para while also learning a new tool's vocabulary at the same time, you're doing two hard things at once. My suggestion? Get clear on your own mental model first. Define what you mean by project, task, or area before you try to map it onto any app's interface. The tool should serve your system, not the other way around. Oh, and my grocery list in Reminders? Every item on there technically has an invisible prefix. Buy some. It's a task list pretending to be a noun list, which means even a grocery list is a project if you squint at it, right? I think about this more than is probably normal. Occupational hazard of being a librarian. Then there's the thing that doesn't seem to fit anywhere. That thing that's not quite a project, not quite an ongoing responsibility, not really reference material, and not done, just exists, hovering. A cat can walk into any room, assess any surface, and decide with complete confidence, this is mine now. I belong here. If something truly matters to a cat, that cat finds a place for it. Usually your laptop keyboard, but still. You have that same capacity. If something is truly important to you, it has real value in your life or your work, you can find a place for it. You can give it a name. You can give it a home. That's not a small thing. That's actually the whole skill. And here's your catalog moment. Yes, I said catalog, and I'm not sorry. Cataloging is just the act of saying, this thing matters enough to name. Libraries do it for millions of items. You can do it for the things that matter in your own life. The stuff that genuinely has no place, it's not a failure of your system. It's information. It's telling you this thing doesn't matter enough to keep, and you're allowed to trust that. Okay, so you've identified something as a project. Great, but there's another trap worth naming. Projects without a finish line. You know the ones. They sit on your list for weeks, months, and every time you look at them, you feel a little pang of guilt. Not because you're lazy, but because you never actually defined what done looks like. This is where exit criteria come in. Exit criteria are just answering the question, how will I know when this is finished? Let me give you an example from my own life. Earlier this year, I thought I could save money by making my own paper planner pages instead of buying them. Sounds reasonable, right? I like planners. I use Notion. I have design skills. Easy project. Except make planner pages isn't actually a project. It's a recipe for something that never finishes. What pages did I need? What size? What about trim lines and bleed for printing? Single-sided or duplex? What paperweight? Where would the binding holes go? How many months ahead should I plan for? I hadn't answered any of those questions. So every time I sat down to work on it, I was really just spinning. And eventually I realized if I'd actually defined what done looked like before I started, I would have seen that this project was way bigger than I thought. And honestly, my time might have been worth more than the money I was trying to save. Done is better than perfect, only works if you know what done is. So if you can't describe how you'll know when something is finished, it's probably not ready to be a project yet. Maybe it's still an idea. Maybe it needs more research. Maybe it's actually three smaller projects stacked in a trench coat pretending to be one. But until you can say, I'll know this is done when this criteria is met, don't put it on your active project list. You're just setting yourself up to feel bad about it. Here's a tricky one worth naming: self-paced courses. On the surface, a course looks like it has a clear finish line. There are a fixed number of modules, you can see the progress bar. It seems like a project with exit criteria built in. But most of us have at least one course sitting in our list that we haven't touched in months, maybe longer. And the reason usually isn't laziness, it's that finish the course and implement what the course taught me are actually two completely different things. One is finite, the other is ongoing. Completing the content, that's a project. You can define done, watched every lesson, took notes, did the exercises. Applying the learning, that's closer to an area. It doesn't end. You just get better at it over time. Pressure comes from conflating the two and feeling like you haven't really finished until you've implemented everything. It means the finish line keeps moving, which means the project never closes, which means it just sits there quietly making you feel behind. So if you have a course on your list, try splitting it in two. One project, complete the content with actual exit criteria. One area, apply and develop the skill, ongoing. That separation alone can take a lot of weight off. And there's the question of how granular to get with any of this. Do you track every single task inside a project? Do you assign specific days to specific actions? Do you map out every step before you start? My answer, go as granular as actually makes sense for you, based on how you work, not how you think you should work. There's a difference between a frame and a plan. A calendar is a frame. It holds the year, the quarters, the months, the weeks. A plan is what you're actually trying to accomplish inside that frame. Mixing the two up, treating the calendar as the plan, is one of the fastest ways to feel behind on things you'll never actually commit to. And on deadlines specifically, if you find yourself frequently leaving things undone or letting them go overdue when they're assigned a very specific day, that's data. Make it a week of deadline instead, or by the end of this month. The goal is a finish line that's realistic, not one that creates pressure because it's too tight or gives you an endless out because it's too loose. You don't need to count every grain of sand on the beach to build a sandcastle. You just need enough to start. For now, just notice, are you using your calendar as a free or as a plan? The answer tells you a lot about where your system friction is coming from. Now let's talk about the R in para, resources. Resources are reference material, things you don't act on directly, but that you want to be able to find when they become relevant. They're not projects, they're not areas. They're the stuff that informs your work without being the work itself. But here's where people get into trouble with resources. Without criteria for what counts, the category becomes a catch-all. Everything is potentially useful someday. Everything might be relevant later. And suddenly your resource library is just a very organized version of the pile. So before you start adding things, define what counts. My rule of thumb, a resource earns its place if it's connected to an actively maintained area or a current project. If it genuinely informs work you're actually doing or work you're actively planning to do, it belongs. But if you can't make up your mind about it, well, the default for undecided things is archive, not resource. Archive is not a graveyard, it's a waiting room. I have a database in Notion called Audio Notes. Anytime I'm listening to a podcast and something catches my attention, an idea, a quote, a framework, it goes there automatically through an app I use called Snipped. I'm not doing anything with those notes right now, but when I sit down to write or plan, they're there. Searchable, findable, ready to be useful. I also keep databases for tracking the iOS and Mac apps I use. I built them originally when I was prepping to get a new computer, and I needed to know what could move to a new machine, what should be replaced because it was outdated, and what was just duplicative. But they've turned out to be useful in ways I didn't anticipate. App Store apps are easy to track when there's an update. They just show up. Anything that I downloaded elsewhere? It doesn't. Sometimes I genuinely cannot remember what an app is called. I know the icon. I know what it does. I have this app that compresses images. The icon is an orange being peeled. And I could not remember for the life of me if it was called Juicer or Squeeze or Citrus or what. It's called Squash. The icon is an orange. I don't know either. Future me is very grateful past me wrote it down. None of that is a project. None of it is an area I maintain to a standard. It's just useful stuff. Organized so it doesn't disappear. Now, One thing that helps enormously with resources and with your whole system, honestly, is thinking about discoverability rather than location. In a library, a book about the history of jazz in New Orleans might get subject headings for jazz, music history, New Orleans, and African-American music. It doesn't live in four places, it lives in one place, one shelf, but findable from four different angles. Your digital system can work the same way. Tags, links, related properties in Notion, these give you multiple entry points to the same item without duplicating it. You're not trying to decide the one place for something. You're making sure it's findable from the angles you're likely to approach it from. And when things do get cluttered, because they will, that's just how systems work over time, tools exist to help you thin things out. Apps like Sparkle or Keep It Shot can help you identify what's genuinely useful going forward versus what's just taking up space. Even Notion AI, if that's your setup, can help surface what's actually being used and what's been sitting untouched. The goal isn't a perfect resource library. The goal is being able to find the thing when you need it, which, as it turns out, is something librarians think about a lot. All right, let's talk about the A in para, archives. Archiving gets a bad rap. It feels like giving up, like admitting defeat, like you're sweeping your failures under the rug. But I want to offer a different frame. Archiving isn't quitting, it's system hygiene. Things in your archive aren't gone. They're just not active. They're not demanding your attention or draining your mental energy. And crucially, they can come back out when they become relevant again. That's the whole point. A good archive is designed for graceful retrieval, not permanent burial. Every item in your active system takes up a little bit of mental energy, even if you're ignoring it, especially if you're ignoring it. Those stale tasks, those half-baked projects, those someday ideas that have been sitting there for 6 months, they're not neutral. They're draining you. I have a daily habits checklist in my journaling template. Simple, just check boxes, no fancy tracking chart. And I know when I'm not checking those boxes. Day after day, the unchecked items are just there. When I was trimming my subscriptions recently, I had to be honest with myself. I was paying for things I wasn't using. Apps and services that sounded cool that I wanted to want, but that I just wasn't engaging with. And my habit tracker didn't lie. The history of what I checked and what I didn't was right there. So I archived. Let go. Not because those things were bad, but because they weren't serving me right now. How do you actually decide what to archive? Because archive when it feels right is not a system. It's a vague intention that never happens. I picked this up from working with professional organizers over the years, helping with their websites and social media. And it comes up in publications like Real Simple, too. The reversed hanger method. When you want to thin out a wardrobe, you turn all of your hangers backwards. After a defined period of time, say a season, anything still on a reversed hanger gets donated. You haven't touched it. It's not serving you. You can apply the same logic to your digital system. Define a time window. Maybe it's 90 days, maybe it's 6 months, whatever makes sense for how you work. Anything that hasn't been touched in that window goes to archive. Not deleted, just moved out of the active view. The key word there is defined. You set the criteria ahead of time, before you're in the emotional moment of deciding whether to keep something. Because in the moment, everything feels potentially useful. Everything has a story. Everything might be relevant someday. But here's the thing about the wardrobe analogy, and this matters. You'd apply it differently to a winter coat than to a summer dress. Seasonal items need seasonal criteria. The same is true for your system. A project file you haven't touched in 90 days might be stale. A reference document you only need once a year is fine sitting quietly until you need it. So define the criteria ahead of time. Apply them consistently and don't feel guilty when you remember why you got rid of something. That moment of, oh, right, I archived that because I wasn't using it is a sign that the system is working. You should feel lighter, feel less pressure. That's the goal. I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, by the way, where seasons are loosely interpreted at best. So my version of seasonal is less about weather and more about project cycles and quarterly rhythms. You get to define what a season means for your life and your work. Principle holds regardless.
Archiving is how you keep the system working for you instead of against you.
I want to bring this back to the library for a second. Because honestly, libraries have been doing para for a long time, just without calling it that. Think about what a library actually holds. There are projects, things with a clear endpoint and deadline, planning our summer reading program, coordinating a one-time author visit, ordering a specific collection for a grant that has to be spent by June. These have finish lines. When the program ends, project closes. There are areas, ongoing responsibilities, maintained to a standard. The makerspace, the Cricut cutting machine and its supplies and its instruction books. That's not a project. Nobody's gonna finish the makerspace. It's something we maintain continuously because it serves our patrons on an ongoing basis. Same with collection development, reader services, technology support. These never end, they just continue. And then there are resources. Reference material that informs the work without being the work. Staff manuals, training documentation, meeting notes, the policy handbook. Nobody's actively doing anything with the staff manual right now, but when someone needs it, it has to be findable. That's its whole job. And there are archives, things that are done. The files from last year's summer reading program. The grant report that's been submitted and closed. The collection development plan from 2019. Not active, not maintained, but preserved. Because someday, someone might need to reference what we did. Here's the thing. Nobody at the library feels guilty that the summer reading program files are archived. Nobody feels like they're falling behind because the makerspace is an ongoing responsibility rather than a completed task. The categories make the expectations clear. That's what para can do for your own system. Not add more structure, but make the right expectations visible. So you know what you're supposed to finish, what you're supposed to maintain, and what you're supposed to be able to find, and what you're allowed to let go of. Your system can hold things the same way a library does, intentionally, with a place for everything, and clarity about what each place means. Time for workflow wisdom. One small actionable principle you could actually use today. We've covered a lot of ground in this episode. Project, areas, resources, archives, exit criteria, vocabulary chaos, catalogs. So I want to land on two things that will make the difference between para being a concept you understood and para being a system you actually use. The first is exit criteria, and I want to make it even more concrete than we did earlier. Before you add a new project to your list, or before you wonder why an old one is still sitting there, write down one sentence. All know this is done when... That's it. One sentence. If you can finish it, even roughly, you have a finish line. And finish lines change everything about how a project feels to work on. If you can't finish it, the project isn't ready. It might be an idea that needs more thinking. It might be three projects pretending to be one. It might actually be an area, something that doesn't end, just continues. In which case, it belongs somewhere else entirely. Try it on one project today. Just one. The second thing is the review, and this is where most systems quietly fall apart. Tiago Forte suggests a weekly review. That might work beautifully for you, or it might be the kind of thing that sounds great on a Sunday afternoon and never actually happens on a Tuesday morning. Monthly or quarterly reviews work for a lot of people, especially if your project cycle runs longer than a week. The frequency matters less than you think. What matters more is knowing what you're actually doing during the review. An undefined review is just staring at your system, feeling vaguely guilty, which is exactly what we're trying to get away from. So define it. Write it down. Your review might include checking what's moved from project to archive, what actually got done, looking at your areas, are you maintaining the standards you set for yourself or have some slipped, scanning your resources, anything that's been sitting untouched long enough can go to the archive instead, and the most important question, does anything need to move? A project that stalled might become archived. A resource that's become central to your work might need to become an area. Para isn't a filing system you set up once. It's a living structure that needs occasional tending. Pick a cadence that's realistic for your actual life, not your aspirational life. Put it in your calendar and write it down somewhere. When that calendar event arrives, you'll know exactly what your review entails. That's your workflow wisdom for this episode. One sentence for your projects, one defined review for your system. I want to be honest about something. I'm the kind of person who has trouble sleeping if I've left something undone, which sounds like a productivity superpower until you realize I'm the one defining done. And if I haven't defined it clearly, if the criteria is too vague, too shifting, too ephemeral, I'll never actually reach it. The finish line keeps moving and I'll lie awake chasing something I can't pin down. That's perfectionism, and I really genuinely hate it in myself and especially when it gets imposed from the outside. There's a phrase usually attributed to Voltaire, "The best is the enemy of the good," though it got translated into English as perfect along the way, which itself is a small lesson in how words drift. The meaning survived the translation, mostly, but the word changed. And now most people quoting Voltaire don't know they're quoting a slightly different Voltaire than the one who wrote it. Words evolve, not just across centuries and languages, but across tools, context, and even our own personal understanding of them. The tasks in one app aren't quite the same as the tasks in another. The done you defined at 11 p.m. isn't quite the same as the done you're measuring yourself against at 3 p.m. the next day. Language isn't stable, which is part of why being explicit about what you mean, writing it down, defining your terms, naming your criteria, matters so much. Anyway, Voltaire was right, whatever word you use. The goal isn't a perfect system. It's a system that's good enough to actually use. One that makes you feel held instead of haunted. So, when you're writing your exit criteria today, give yourself permission to define done generously, honestly, in a way that's actually reachable. Because a finish line you can cross is infinitely more useful than a perfect one you never reach. This week, open your to-do list or task manager, whatever you use, look at what's there. Ask yourself, is this a project with an actual end? Does it have exit criteria? Do I know what done looks like? If not, write down a sentence before you do anything else with it. Is this really an area? Something I maintain to a standard that never truly finishes? If so, stop expecting to get it done. Move it somewhere that reflects that. And is there something that just keeps rolling over week after week, never getting touched? Be honest. Archive it. Let it go. Notice how it feels. You don't have to do all of this alone. One item in each category. That's enough. Remember, a system that makes you feel behind isn't evidence that you're broken. The system might not be either. It might just be holding the wrong things. Give yourself permission to hold less. Thanks for listening to Think Like a Librarian. If you're enjoying the show, leaving a review genuinely helps more people find it, and I appreciate it more than I can say. As a thank you, I made something called The Hidden Stack, a curated resource from behind the proverbial reference desk. This inaugural volume covers the podcasts I listen to, the tools I use every day, and the quotes I keep coming back to. Head on over to thinklikealibrarian.com/review to upload your review screenshot, and you'll get the hidden stacks in your inbox right after. I'll see you next week.